This evening, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how to start a conversation about spiritual things with a Jewish person. Before I get into that, I want to say this. Some of you are going to say, this looks vaguely familiar because I have taught this previously here at Lakes Pond. However, in a conference like this, I think it's important to go over this and to cover this. And I suspect you forgot most of what I told you anyway previously. And so we're going to cover this again. And if you're like, if it's familiar, yes, it is. I'm repeating myself. But if you'll listen, I still believe it'll be a blessing to you. And I think it'll be a help. And so please bear with me. I think there'll be two lessons this week out of the 18 that you may have heard previously if you were here at the right time. And hopefully that won't be boring to you. I hope that'll be interesting. We were talking this morning about the strategy. Okay, that Jewish people are coming to Christ. Jewish people are being saved. Don't let people tell you they're not. Jewish people are coming to Christ and being saved. And almost, I'm not going to say all, but the vast majority of those Jewish people who are being saved, as I said this morning, they say, because I had a Christian friend, had a Christian coworker, a Christian relative, a Christian neighbor who began to witness to me. And we're seeing that they're being won through personal relationship. Almost never first time they get presented with the gospel, but personal relationship over a long period of time is what's bringing them to Christ. Okay? Now, when I was pastoring in Tel Aviv, I was teaching our people about soul winning, and I asked a question. I said, how many of you believe that we should be a witness for Jesus Christ? And everybody in our church raised their hand and said, yes, I believe we should be a witness for Jesus Christ. I have a feeling if at Lakes Pond, I said, how many of you believe that? Almost everybody raised their hand. I said, thank you. Put your hands down. Let me ask you a second question. How many of you have talked to a lost person about Jesus this month? And almost nobody raised their hand. And see, that's what I see in Baptist churches all across the country. I see we all believe that we should be doing this, and very few of us are doing this. Okay? That's a very common thing. And one of the reasons is we have it built into our mind that this is very difficult. I hope by the end of this evening, you'll be saying, I can do that. That's not so hard. I think I could do that. And I hope you'll leave this evening not just saying, I think I could, but saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a Macedonian, and I'm going to carry through with it. I'm going to do the job. And so I hope that's what we will accomplish tonight. Now, as we're talking to other people, we have a tendency to focus in on the message that we're teaching and preaching. And why wouldn't we? The gospel is the greatest message there is in the world. And why wouldn't we focus in on it? But as we do, Joshua's going to be a good Jewish person today. As we talk, yeah, cool right now. As we talk to them, very often my focus is, I want to tell you this important message, but sometimes I'm so focused on the message that I don't see the person I'm talking to. And that's a mistake. Okay? Jesus saw the people. In fact, he saw right to their hearts. And I love when I'm reading the scriptures to make note of what Jesus did. So if you go to, like in Matthew 4:19, Jesus is talking to fishermen. Now, he wasn't witnessing. I think these men were already saved. But Jesus looks at a bunch of fishermen and he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Isn't that beautiful? He's talking to fishermen. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. You go over to John chapter 4, and there's a lady that has come to the well to get some water and carry water to the house. And he looks at her in John 4:10, and he says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Okay? So he talks to the woman at the well and he says, you know what? I just asked you for water, but if you knew who you're talking to, you'd be asking me for living water. He knew how to get a hold of a person's heart. Okay? A self-righteous Pharisee comes to him. I'm very religious. I am a preacher. I'm a leader of the Jews. I am very righteous, at least very self-righteous. And he comes to Jesus by night in John chapter 3, just a chapter back from the woman in the well. And he comes in with flowery complimentary words. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, if you didn't know the story, and I asked you, what do you think Jesus would say? You know, you'd say, oh, shucks, thanks, Nicodemus. That's so kind of you to say such nice words. Jesus didn't. He said all these flowery words, and Jesus looks at him in verse 3. He says, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, this self-righteous Pharisee, walks in and says flowery words, and Jesus slapped him across the face with a statement, if you don't get born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. That was the last thing Nicodemus expected to hear. And it was the exact thing he needed to hear. Okay? Luke 18, a rich young ruler comes to Jesus. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks right into his soul and says, keep the commandments. Oh, I do that. Really? Okay, then do this. Sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me. Does that mean selling everything you have is going to give you eternal life? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means that Jesus knew the needs of this man's heart, and he knew the one barrier that was keeping him from Christ. And he put his finger right on that thing. Jesus was great at seeing the person he was talking to, understanding how to speak to them. Now, please understand me correctly. I am not saying that there's a different gospel for different people. There's one gospel, the only gospel for everyone. But we package it for different people. Now, that doesn't mean we're being dishonest, but okay, here's another way to explain it. So this afternoon, I had to go to Providence to pick up Dr. Frampton at the airport. If I called you on the phone and say, hey, I don't know how to get from here to Providence, how do I get from here to Providence? You'd say, Brother Sam, I don't know where you're at. Tell me where you're at, and I'll tell you how to get from there to Providence. Okay? Because, you know what? If you're in New London, the road to Providence is one. But if you're in Willimantic, it's a different thing. And if you're in Boston, it's a different thing. Okay? And in the same way, the gospel is one. But I need to look at somebody. I need to understand where they are so I can tell them how to get to where they need to be. And so Jesus did that. So, and by the way, I can't match Jesus. Do you? I mean, he was Jesus, okay? But I can pay attention to the people I'm talking to. I can try to understand where they're at and then shape the message. And so we do that. Let me just jump in here then with some things. If it's through relationship, if my witnessing to them isn't going to be one discrete 4-minute presentation of the Romans Road, but rather it's going to be an ongoing process where I talk to them many times about the gospel, then I need to find a lot of different ways to start a conversation with them about the gospel. Because I'm going to talk to them regularly about the gospel, maybe for a long time. And so most of us are afraid of doing that. I think we already started. I'll start back here. Keys of Jewish evangelism. I'll probably say this in almost every session this week. You should get used to this. Okay? If you want to win people to Jesus, you're going to have to love them. You're going to have to pray faithfully. You're going to have to regularly sow the word of God. And you're going to have to patiently continue at it for as long as it takes. That's where it starts. That's how we do personal evangelism through personal relationship. Now, when I said, how many of you think we should witness? Everybody raised their hand. How many of you done it? Nobody raised their hand. You say, why? Because we're afraid. Okay? I mean, it really comes down to that. Most of us, it's not that we're evil. It's not that we hate our neighbors and want them to die and go to hell. We're afraid. It'd be really good for you to sit down and take a piece of paper and start writing out, what am I afraid of? Because what we find is we don't even know what we're afraid of, but we're afraid that we might say something wrong. We're afraid they might make fun of us. You know, people make fun of me all the time. I should be used to it by now. We're afraid to offend. Okay? We're afraid that our witness won't be good enough and it won't work. Most of the stuff we're afraid of is nonsense. But nonetheless, we're afraid, okay? And so we're afraid because we think it's very, very hard. I contend that it's very easy to talk to a Jewish person about the gospel. Now, most people would say, it can't be easy to talk to. It's not easy to win a Jewish person to Christ. But starting a conversation with them isn't hard at all. You say, well, why can that be? Well, folks, it comes down to this. When I have something in common with you, I can easily find common ground to start a conversation, okay? So, like, how many of you people have Android phones? Yay, okay, so I've got something in common with you guys. I don't even want to talk to you iPhone people. Or I could talk to you about college football. I am not talking to you about the Patriots. I could talk to you. I could say, so where did you grow up? And you tell me, and I've probably been there. I'll say, oh, okay, I see, we find some common ground, and then we can talk to one another. That's how we do it, okay? So you say, yeah, but they're Jewish, and I'm a Gentile. What do we have in common? Everything, okay? We love the Bible. They love the Bible. We love Abraham and Moses and David. They love Abraham and Moses and David. Okay? We have great respect for Jewish culture. They have great respect for Jewish culture. The favorite person in my life is Jesus Christ, a Jewish person. Okay? And so there's tons of things that we have in common with them. And on that basis, it's easy to start a conversation. Now, you don't believe me, but you will in a few minutes because I'm going to actually go through some easy ways to start a conversation with a Jewish person. Now, Joshua, could I get you to come up and help me? Joshua, by the way, somebody asked me this morning, they said, you're Jewish, right? I am not Jewish. I'd be very happy if God had created me Jewish, but he created me Gentile. And so I'm a Gentile. Joshua, as far as we know, is a Gentile also. And I have no idea why this is important, but I'd like you to be on this side because I always do it this way. Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to do a scenario. I'm going to teach you five different ways to start a conversation with a Jewish person. None of these ways are offensive. Okay. I really don't like to offend people. Sometimes I offend people. I may have offended you already today, but I don't like to offend people. I don't try to offend people. And when I witness, generally, like, to start your witness with an offense is not really a good plan, okay? There's no benefit in that, generally speaking. I mean, Jesus did it to Nicodemus, but that was a little exceptional. So I'm going to try to show you five ways that are simple, easy, and you can do it. I mean, you really can, and they're not going to offend the person. Now, there's a caveat here. There are some people that are going to get offended no matter what you do, and if you do nothing, that guy's going to get offended. I can't help that. That's him. Okay, most normal people will not be offended by anything I'm going to show you here today. Okay, so we're going to start out with, so where do people work at who live in New London? What's a big business here locally? Huh? EB? Electric Boat. Oh, that's cool. Okay, I like that. That's neat. So we work at EB. So what do you do at EB? Do you think he draws the diagrams? He's the engineer who designs the boats. Doesn't he look like an engineer? I'm telling you. So you're the engineer, okay? Okay, and I don't know what I am. I'm low-level manager, okay. And so we both worked there, and now I haven't been working there for very long. Actually, EB's like, I didn't know you worked for us at all. So I just started working, and I've got this real problem because it's Pastor Meter. I mean, he's all over our backs, okay? Because we're going to have this big special day. We're going to have Friends Sunday. And he's like, invite somebody to come. And it's like relentless about this. And I don't know who to invite. But pastor keeps saying, you got to invite. And I'm like, what am I going to do? The preacher's telling me I got to invite. What am I going to do about it? And so I've got to invite somebody. I'm racking my brain. Who am I going to invite? And I think, I know. There's that guy at work. He seems like a nice guy. I'll invite him to come. Okay. So I'm going to invite Joshua to come to Friend Day at Lakes Pond Baptist Church. But what I don't know is that Joshua's Jewish. Does he look Jewish to you? He does? Jack thinks he's Jewish. Okay. Can I tell you something? I have no idea what Jewish looks like. I know Jewish people that look like all kinds of different things. There are some people you look at and he's like, okay, he probably is Jewish. But there's all kinds of people that don't look one bit Jewish and turns out they're Jewish. Okay? So when you say, oh, does he look Jewish? I think it's a silly question. I mean, because I can't tell. But, you know, that's just me. So he doesn't look Jewish. He's not wearing one of those little things on his head. So I guess he's not Jewish. Okay, but he is, and I just don't know it. By the way, most of the Jewish people in New England don't wear the little thing on their head. And they don't look discernibly Jewish. They don't carry around a sign saying, I am Jewish. They look just like everybody else. And so people say, how do you find Jewish people? Well, if you go around and you witness to a lot of the people that you run into, eventually one of them is going to say, hey, I'm Jewish. Okay. And then we, when they do that, they mean go away. And I mean, ha, found you. All right. So that's how I deal with it. Okay. So anyway, I'm going to talk to you. Now, Joshua, I've already told you, you know how to do this. What I'm going to want you to do is when I invite you to come, I want you to put out your hand and go, stop, I'm Jewish. Practice that on me.
Stop, I'm Jewish.
I think, have you done this before with me? You're really good at this. Okay. All right. So we're going to do this. Hey, Joshua, how you doing today?
I'm good.
How's the boat business?
Going pretty good.
That's really neat. Now, electric boat, that's submarines, right? That's so cool. Excuse me for enjoying that. So designing pretty good submarines?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Hey, listen, I wanted to talk to you about something.
Yeah.
I go over to Lakes Pond Baptist Church and...
I'm Jewish.
Uh-oh. Now, my question for you is this. When you start talking to somebody and they pull out the stop, I'm Jewish, what do? How do you answer? Okay. First of all, let me talk to you about it. We're going to do a little analysis here. What's happening inside of Joshua's head when he says, stop, I'm Jewish? What does he even mean by that? Okay, let me tell you what he means by that. He means Jewish people believe that Christianity is a religion for Gentiles. The New Testament is the Bible for Gentiles. Okay? Jesus is God for the Gentiles. And that none of it has anything to do with Jewish people. Is that true? Everything I just said is absolutely not true. The New Testament was written by Jewish people to Jewish people about a Jewish guy. So it's absolutely, Jesus was the promised Messiah that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob promised through the Hebrew prophets to send to save his people from their sins. He has everything to do with the Jewish people. And so all of this stuff is all absolutely for them. In fact, you say, well, is it for Gentiles? Yeah, but sort of like hand-me-downs. Okay? It was really for them first, and then we got to get in on the deal. Okay? So when they think, oh, that's not for us, absolutely was for them. Okay? Jesus is for them. The New Testament is for them. Christianity is for them. But they don't know that. Their culture says, that's not for us. So when he says, stop, I'm Jewish, what does he mean? What he means is, okay, listen, Gentile. You got your little Gentile religion, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. Why don't you take your little Gentile religion and go peddle it among your little Gentile friends and leave me out of this because it has nothing to do with me. I'm really not interested. That's what he means. Okay, now he's not trying to be mean. He's just like, don't want to go there. Okay, and that's his way of saying bye. And so I come up to him and I present that. Now, how does a Christian respond to that? I will show you how the average Christian responds to it. So I want to invite you to...
Stop, I'm Jewish.
The average Christian freezes. I didn't know he was Jewish. He doesn't look Jewish. I wonder how long he's been Jewish. I wonder if I offended him. I have no idea what to say. Really? You're Jewish? Okay, bye. And we put our tail between our legs and run away. That's how Christians witness to Jewish people. Okay? Did you notice that we didn't witness at all to him? Okay? By the way, he thinks Gentiles generally don't like Jewish people. Okay? When he identifies himself as Jewish, there's this thing in the back of his mind is there's a good chance I'm going to get hostility in reaction. And what happened? When I found out he was Jewish, I turned around and left. And he's like, see there? I've just confirmed what he suspected, that as soon as I find out he's Jewish, I don't want to talk to him anymore. And he takes that as anti-Semitism when it wasn't anti-Semitism. I just didn't know what to say. And so that's how Christians often witness to Jewish people. So now we're going to run it again, and we're going to try it another way. All right. Hey, Josh, I want to talk to you about something. You doing all right?
I'm doing well.
Okay, good. Well, listen, we're going to be having a special deal over at Lakes Pond Baptist Church.
I'm Jewish.
You're Jewish? I didn't know that. That's wonderful. I'm a Baptist, and we love Jewish people. Okay. For people who are expecting a cold, hostile response, I just flipped that on his head. That's the last thing he expected.
Right.
That's confusing. That's very, he does.
Now,
I'm not the one who's sitting there going, don't know what to do. Now he's like, what? Don't get that. That's very odd. Now he is off of his game. And I've had Jewish people at that moment say, why would you love Jewish people? And if they don't ask it, trust me, they're thinking it. Okay? And so whether they ask the question or not, I'm answering the question. I say, we love Jewish people. Josh, it was through your people that God gave the scriptures, the Bible. What a wonderful gift. How could we not love? Hey, it was through your people that God sent Messiah to the earth, my Savior. How could we not love you? There's a PowerPoint. I'm supposed to be using it for something. I don't know. Okay. By the way, in case you're wondering, this is in the notebook, pages 3 through 5, in case you're using one of the notebooks. And I'm going through so quick that you don't have time to fill in the blanks. Okay. And so you're Jewish. That's wonderful. I'm Baptist. We love the Jewish people. Okay. Because God sent great gifts through your people, the Bible and the Messiah. And then I should give credit. This is my wife's. She did this, and I learned from it. I will steal other people's good ideas. She started saying, you know what, Joshua? As Baptists, as Gentile Christians, we believe that it's high time. See, Jewish people feel isolated. They feel like the whole world's against them. Okay? It's high time that us Baptists, you know, there's so much terrorism in the world. There's so much hatred. There's so much anti-Semitism. It's high time that we Christians stood up and said that we love Israel, that we love our Jewish brothers and sisters, and we stand with the Jewish people. By the way, that's absolutely true. And those are shocking words for him. Okay, Jewish people who feel isolated, who feel hounded on every side by media and the liberals and everybody, suddenly they're like, somebody likes us? Somebody's going to stand with us? Those are thrilling words. And then as God gives the opportunity, we can go forward and say, hey, do you know, I'm already talking about Messiah. God gave Messiah through. Do you know what the Jewish Bible says about Messiah? And off we are talking about the things of God. So one way that we can start a conversation with the Jewish people is just by saying, we love the Jewish people, and tell them why we love the Jewish people. We got the Bible, we got the Savior, we stand with Israel, and you've started a conversation about spiritual things. Now, I'm not going to tell you today how to lead him to Christ. That's later. You got to come to the conference, okay? What I'm going to do, or you got the notes, so that's either way. But what we're going to do is talk about how to start the conversation. We're not going to talk about how to end it. So let's go to number two. So Joshua went away a little bit mystified that this Christian seems to like him. And so I wait a couple of days, maybe 2 or 3 days, maybe a week passes. Maybe I see him a few times. Hey, Josh, how you doing? It's good to see you. But now I want to go again because it's relationship. It's continual. I'm going to continue to sow seed in his life. And I've been trying to show love to him. I've been praying faithfully. I think it's time to sow some more seed. And so I'm going to do, have you seen the news? Now, when I say, have you seen the news? I want to preface this with this. Most Jewish people are interested in Israel. And why wouldn't they be? They should be. Okay. And so I make a point to pay special attention to news about Israel. You say, how do you do that? So Israel's almost always in the news. I mean, just about all the time they're in the news. And usually it's something crazy and catastrophic going on. I don't know how you get your news. Maybe you watch the 11 o'clock news. I do the news on my phone. And I have this news app, and you can put in keywords of things you're interested in. So, like, I've lived in Russia and Israel and Ukraine, so I've got those things in there because I love those places. And you know, critically important things to you, like Ohio State Buckeyes, things that are of real interest, those are in my keywords. And so whenever there's news on a topic I want, it pops up to the top of the screen. And so Israel is my first keyword, okay, because I want to know what's going on in Israel. And so, you know, I get up in the morning, I'm scrolling through the news, and oh, look, a headline. Look, Hamas is shooting more rockets out of Gaza at Israel. That is terrible. Okay, wow, that's terrible. So I get into work, and I'm going to talk to Joshua, and I'm going to use the news about Israel. Now, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to ask him his thoughts about the latest conflict. Ask. The word ask is underlined because I believe in asking questions. I don't want to have monologues with my person. I want to have dialogues. I want to to go back and forth. If you just have monologues with people, they are going to quickly tune you out. And you're just like making noise. Okay, let's not do that. So I'm going to ask him his thoughts. And then I'm going to use it, this whole line of have you seen the news, I'm going to use it to take it around to Jewish prophecy. Or to the Hebrew prophets, and use that then to talk to him about the prophecies of the Messiah. Okay. Now, all of this started one day. I was in Ashkelon, in southern Israel. I was in the city of Ashkelon, and we were handing out humanitarian aid with Project Nehemiah to the needy people there. And there was a guy there, an older guy, and a lot of these immigrants are Russian speaking, and I speak Russian, so that worked out good. And so I went over to him. His name was, you Americans would call him Boris. His name was Boris. And I said, Boris, how you doing today? And he said, I'm doing just fine. And I said, so how long have you lived here? And he said, well, I've lived here actually for 11 years now. And I said, that's great. I said, do you like it here? He said, oh, I love it. I love being in Israel. This is beautiful. I love it here. And he said, but one thing, he said, it scares me. He said, I don't want a war, man. I'm scared of war. I don't want to have any war. I pray that there's not going to be any war. I heard him say he prayed. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I said, so Boris, are you a believer? Do you believe in God? And he answered really the thing you would expect, because almost the vast majority of Russian Jewish people are atheists. And so I said, do you believe in God? And he said, oh no, I'm an atheist. And I said, a minute ago, you told me that you pray for peace. He said, yeah. And I said, but you're an atheist. He said, yeah. I said, who are you talking to? He said, I have no idea. I mean, that actually happened. This is not a joke. That happened just like that. And so I did what I'm going to show you now. Okay. So you go in to see Josh, and I said, Josh, have you seen the news about Israel? And he probably has it. If he has it, you could, man, I'll tell you what, they're shooting rockets from Gaza again. A bunch of them struck near Ashkelon and near Sderot. It's terrible. And he's like, it is, it's terrible. And I'm going to say, what do you think, what's going to happen next? Now, when you ask questions, may I suggest that you listen to the answers? It's really helpful if you'll do that. Listen carefully to the answers. Listen carefully and prayerfully to the answers, because as they answer, they will open up their heart and tell you things that you can use to present the gospel. So what do you think is going to happen next? And he'll tell you what he thinks, which is probably, man, I don't know. And then I'll say, what do you think it's going to take to bring peace to the Middle East? And he'll say, well, you know, I'm just not sure. And then I'm going to go with here. I'm going to turn that right to the prophets. I'm going to say, so do you know what the Hebrew prophets say about coming events? Okay. Now, somewhere in the world, there's a Jewish person that can answer that question. I haven't yet met him. Okay. Jewish people that I know, I've never met a Jewish person who knows much about Bible prophecy. There's good reasons why the rabbis don't want them to know about Bible prophecy. I talked to one rabbi in Israel. I said, what do you think about the prophecies of the Hebrew prophets? And this is a rabbi. And he said, I don't really do prophecy. Like, that's like half of your Bible that you don't really do. Just dismiss that. Write that off. Okay? Now, one of the reasons they write it off is because it talks about Jesus clear as day. Okay? And so they don't really want to go there. So I asked him, I say, so do you know what the Hebrew prophets say? I was talking to Boris. And he said, I don't want war. Are you believing me? And no, I'm an atheist. And I said, well, have you read what the Hebrew prophets say is coming next? And he's like, yeah, I don't really do prophets. He said, I'm not really into that. And I said, have you ever studied the Hebrew prophets? He said, no. And I said, man, you're Jewish and you've never studied the Jewish prophets? How can that be? Do you realize that there are no prophets in the world that have ever done anything? They have prophesied with incredible precision, with 100% success rate. They told exactly what was going to happen hundreds of years. It's incredible. Really? And I'm like, yes, you should know that. You're Jewish. And it's like, wow, well, what do they say? I said, I'll tell you what they say. They say that we are on the threshold of the most black, deep, horrible time in human history. Talked about the tribulation. And he said, oh, well, thank you for that encouragement. And I said, but wait. They say that right after that will be the most glorious time of all, when Messiah will come back and there will be a wonderful age. He said, it says that? I said, it does. He said, that's really interesting. I said, how about if we have, in America, I would have said coffee over there. I said, how about if we get together and have tea and I'll show you what your prophets say? And he said, I'd love to do that. And I was able to meet with him three times and show him the prophets, especially the ones about the Messiah, and present the gospel to him. And so, have you seen the latest news about Israel? Jewish people will be glad to talk to you about that. And then you just take turn that right to the prophets. And as you start to talk about prophecy, it's very simple to begin to talk about prophecies of the Messiah and how that can help. That is a great way. Let me go through this. That is a great way of sharing the gospel with your Jewish neighbor. Okay, number three. So number one, we love the Jewish people. Number two, have you seen the news? Number three, I just read the most amazing thing in the Tanakh. Now, some of you maybe don't know the word. Tanakh is their word that we say Old Testament, they say Tanakh. Okay, so Tanakh means Old Testament. Old Testament means Tanakh. Now, how many of you read the Jewish Bible, the Tanakh? Anybody here read the Jewish Bible? Anybody here read the Old Testament? Yeah, if you read the Old Testament, you read the Tanakh. Okay, if you're not reading the Old Testament, preacher, you should be taking names here. But your people aren't reading the Old Testament. I'm really worried about that. That's like 5/6 of the Bible. Okay, so I mean, if we read the Bible, we, you know, anytime we're in the Old Testament, we're reading the Tanakh. Anytime you read a Psalm or a Proverb or Genesis or anything from that whole part of the Bible, you're reading the Tanakh. And so I go in there now. Before we get into it, first of all, Jewish people have a lot of opinions about the Bible. Now, as fundamental Baptists, we believe that the Bible is God-inspired from cover to cover, every word God breathed. Okay? I have met Jewish people that believe that, but they're the exception. Most of them don't believe that. And you have a wide, some of them think, oh yeah, the Bible's a bunch, it's a bunch of mythology about our people. Okay? Some of them believe, well, the words of God are in there, but there's a lot of it that's not really from God. And then a small minority say, yeah, this is God's word all the way through. So there's a lot of different attitudes toward the Bible, but almost all Jewish people have respect for the word of God. In the back of the auditorium, we have some Tanakhs. And if you know somebody that's Jewish, we would love to give you one to give to your Jewish acquaintance. We have a Hebrew-English Tanakh, Old Testament, and a Hebrew-English New Testament to go with it as a set. And we will happily give this to you for free to give to your Jewish acquaintance. So, my wife went to her chiropractor. So when we need somebody, when we need anybody to help us, a doctor or whatever, we look for a Jewish one because we're going to build a relationship and try to witness to him. So she needed a chiropractor. She said, I'm going to go find a Jewish chiropractor. And she couldn't find a Jewish chiropractor. The only chiropractor she could find had kind of an Irish name. And so she went to the Irish chiropractor and he was Jewish. She had prayed and prayed, God, send me to a Jewish, and couldn't find one. So she went to this guy with the Irish name and he turned out to be Jewish. And so she went there and she went there for a few times and then one time she went and she gave him a gospel tract and started to witness to him and he's like, whoa, stop. Not religious, not my thing, not really interested. She's like, okay, no problem. She waited a couple of times more, comes back and she brings him a Tanakh. She said, hey doc, I brought you a gift. And he said, oh really? What'd you bring me? And she hands him this Tanakh, just like the ones that we've got here. And he opened it up, and she said he was transported. He forgot she was in the room. He was looking at the Hebrew there, and she said he started petting it and stroking it. And he was just like, this is so beautiful. And he looked up at her, and he said, this is a gift? Okay, non-religious Jewish person has great love, great reverence for the Hebrew scriptures. And so I go to him, I say, hey, Jewish people have respect for the Bible. Now they think the Old Testament is their Bible, the New Testament is our Bible. And so therefore they're going to think it's really weird that you're reading their Bible. Huh, what are you doing in our Bible? I thought you were reading that other Bible. Nope, I read your Bible. Okay, and so I'm going to use that. So I'm going to come into Josh's office. I'm going to say, Josh, I just read the most amazing thing from the Tanakh. He's like, really? Because Jewish people theoretically revere the scripture, and in reality, they rarely open them up. Okay? And he's going to be thinking, you read the Tanakh? Don't you guys have that other? Why are you reading our book? And then I'm going to tell him what I'm reading. So it's not offensive for him to tell me the cool thing I found in his Jewish Bible. It's crazy because he didn't know I even read the Jewish Bible. But that's not offensive. Now, What did you read? Well, I don't know what you read in your devotions that day. Maybe you happen to be reading Isaiah 53, the prophecies of the suffering Messiah. Feel free to tell him about that. Okay? But maybe not. Maybe you read a proverb about holding your temper, or maybe you read a story in Genesis or something out of the law in Leviticus. I don't know what you read. Okay? But tell him what you read. Doesn't have to be about the gospel. Tell him what you read and tell him why it was a blessing to your heart. Just share with him what you're experiencing. The word witness in its most basic form means to share the thing that I experienced. So share the thing you experienced. Okay? The whole time you are, he's sitting there going, so I have a Jewish Bible, but I don't read it. This Gentile, this goy, is reading the Bible. I never get a blessing from our Bible. This Gentile's getting a blessing from our Bible. He's sitting here being all excited and waving his arms and having a great time, and I don't even know what he's talking about. Why is it that this guy is getting so excited and so blessed by our Bible and I got nothing? Okay? Twice in Romans chapter 11, it talks about how that we are supposed to, salvation is coming to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Okay? Perfectly innocently, I'm sharing the word of God. I'm talking with him about spiritual things. I'm provoking him to jealousy and thinking, why don't I have a relationship with God like that? It's very simple, okay? Number three. This is really hard. I mean, it's complicated. Can I pray for you? Now, did you ever notice as you were reading through the Old Testament that Jewish people love to murmur, grumble, and complain? Anybody ever notice that? Okay, do you know why they're like that? Because they're human beings, because we're all like that. We love to complain. I mean, there are few pleasures as sweet as self-pity. I mean, don't we love to feel sorry for ourselves? It's such a sweet thing. What's even better is if you can get your wife to feel sorry for you too. That's just fun. But it doesn't usually work. She's usually like, well, you brought it on yourself, stupid. I'm like, oh, okay. Anyway, But we love, you know, just human beings, it's just the way we are. We love to feel sorry for ourselves. We love to complain. And so I come into work and I see Joshua sitting there. I say, hey, Josh, how are you doing today? And he goes, rrr. I'm like, what does rrr mean? And we get to talk and he's like, oh, man. He said, I think I'm running. I don't know. I don't feel good today. I'm like, really? That's not good. He said, yeah. And you know what? My car broke down on the way to work. I got in here late. The boss yelled at me. I got this project. I don't know what I'm doing. Everything's going wrong. Just kind of normal office stuff, right? You know, I don't know what the problem is. Building submarines is simple and you can't deal with it. So what's he expecting? He's expecting me to say, well, hey, I hope it gets better. See you later. You can do better than that. You could commiserate. You could say, man, I'm really sorry. That's a bummer. But don't do either one of those. Say, hey, Josh, can I pray for you about that? Say, what? That's not what he was thinking, okay? As Christians, we don't realize the mind-blowing privilege of prayer, that prayer is. We have no concept of how amazing it is that God makes prayer accessible to us, that we're all able to do that. Jewish people don't know what prayer is like. Okay, for Jewish people, most Jewish people, prayer is the siddur. They have a prayer book, and they open this prayer book, and there are prayers. They're in Hebrew. Maybe as a Jewish person, I know Hebrew and I understand it. Or maybe I don't. I just know. I've been supposed to repeat these. And so a lot of Jewish people are like, they open the siddur, and or they don't have to open it because they memorize it. And they memorize it. And they're praying these prayers. They do this davening thing, this thing. And they make these, they pray these prayers. And what they're doing is they're reciting the words of some rabbi from hundreds of years ago that he wrote down in this book about how you're supposed to pray. And he's praying their prayers from back then. Okay, maybe he's understanding it, maybe he's not understanding it. But either way, he's just, okay. And so prayer, like we know, prayer like talking to God who is listening, who promised to answer, they don't have any of that. Okay, so I say, can I pray for you? And he's like, oh, God, oh. You know, he has no idea what that looks like. You know, he's like, how do Christians pray? I don't know. He probably goes to some great big cathedral or something and lights some candles and pays a priest and does some spooky. I don't know what that looks. He doesn't have any. And so, you know, he probably said, well, yeah, sure, you can pray for me. Don't give him half a second. When he says, sure, before the R gets out of his mouth, I'm praying. Okay? He says, well, sure. I'm like, Lord, I come to you now for Josh. And he's freaking out. What? We're at work. You can't do that here. Lord, I come to you for my friend Joshua. And you know, Lord, he's having a terrible day. Lord, he doesn't feel well. I pray that you touch his body. You created it. And Lord, I know you can heal. I pray that you lift him up. Lord, his car's got a problem. Lord, give him wisdom on how to deal with that. Bring somebody to him that can help. God, he's got this project that's weighing on. And I just pray. Pray like we pray all the time. Except for that pray in faith. Okay? Because we don't do that all the time. Pray to God and just talk to God. And I'll tell you what, your Jewish friend is like, what are you doing? Like you're talking to God out loud in front of everybody at work. You can't do that. You're just using like regular old words like you would talk to anybody else. You're talking as though you think somebody's listening. This is very strange and sort of wonderful. And I don't know what to do with it. Okay? You just drug him into the throne room of God. That's a good thing to do. Okay? He suddenly is standing before a holy God and he's not knowing what. This is a good thing. Okay? You say, it's just a simple way to start a conversation with somebody. By the way, once you're done doing that, okay, like all of us like to complain and grumble, pray for him. And by the way, after you're done praying with him, come back the next day and say, hey, Josh, how are you feeling today? It's like, I'm good. I'm like, great. I prayed yesterday that God would heal you. I've been praying for you. How's the car? How's that project? I'm praying for you. He's like, wow, he not only prays, but he remembers and he cares. And he's still praying for me. And that's a good way to show love for him. Follow up later by continuing to pray and by asking about the need. Okay. One more. Chag Sameach. Now, did I do it in the notes? Sometimes. Okay, so at the start and the end, there's a CH. And you know a word that has a CH at the start and the end. It's called church. And the CH says chub, but not in Hebrew. When we're transliterating Hebrew words, CH means, okay, like that. It makes that funny sound. And so that's not Chag Sameach. It's Chag Sameach. Okay, and Chag Sameach means happy holiday. Okay, Chag means a holiday, and Sameach is joyous. And so holiday joyous, which is how they say happy holiday. Now, by the way, if you want to say Chag Sameach, people will be way impressed. You say, but I'm worried I'll pronounce it wrong. American Jewish people pronounce all the Hebrew words wrong. They'll think you know better than they do. I mean, they do terrible things to the Hebrew language. And I don't even know Hebrew, and I'm telling you that. It's frightening what American Jews do with the Hebrew language. Anyway. So some Jewish people are very religious, but most of them aren't. The vast majority of Jewish people are not very religious. We think of Jewish people as, oh, they're going to be very religious people. I saw one statistic that said 7% of American Jews regularly go to synagogue. That same statistic says 93% of the Jewish people in America do not regularly go to synagogue. So they're not, Jewish people tend to be not very religious. There are good reasons for that. We don't have time to go into that. But the weird thing is, whether they're religious or not, they love their Jewish heritage and they love their culture and they love their Jewish holidays. Now you say, well, that's weird. Why would they celebrate a religious holiday when they don't even believe it? Yeah, I don't know. Why do most Americans celebrate Christmas even though they're not Christians? Okay, I mean, everybody celebrates Christmas even if they're not Christians. And in the same way, Jewish people love to celebrate Hanukkah and Passover and Rosh Hashanah even if they don't believe any of it. That's their culture. And they love their culture and their holidays come with special traditions, special foods, and it's just a very special family time for them. Okay, every holiday has its special treat. And that tends to be important. Okay, and so they love all of that stuff. And so what you can do is you can wish them happy holiday. You can just say happy Hanukkah. Okay, so Hanukkah is the next one coming up. Hanukkah will be December 10th through 18th. Okay, so that's a ways out. The last one. Oh, excuse me. No, that's not next one. Oh, excuse me. I'm looking at my stuff and I think it's wrong. Because it says here Tabernacles is October 2 through 9, but that's not right. I have a mistake in my notes. What does it say in your notes about Feast of Tabernacles? Okay, your notes are right, mine are wrong. Okay, yeah, because that's when it was. Excuse me. Anyway, so the next holiday coming up is going to be Hanukkah. And by the way, I brought a bunch of Hanukkah tracks there on my display. And so that's the next one coming up. And when does it say that's going to be? What? December?
November 28th.
No. Okay. See, it changes every year. And so you have to keep up. Oh, November 28th through December 6th. Okay. I got to update my notes. Pardon. So that's when it's going to be. So when it does, you can go to him and you could say Chag Sameach Hanukkah, or you can just say Happy Hanukkah. Either way. Okay. Buy a card. Wherever you go buy greeting cards, because there's so many Jewish people in the area, I promise you there are going to be Jewish cards there. You know, somewhere there's going to be a little section. Find a Hanukkah card, fill it out. Happy Hanukkah. We rejoice in whatever. Okay. Love you lots, your neighbors, the Wilsons. Okay. So you get a card. Okay. With the card, you get a Hanukkah tract. Wherever would you find a Hanukkah tract? Well, if you knew a guy named Sam Wilson who had a display at the back of the room, you could get one. So you get a Hanukkah tract and you put it in your Hanukkah card and you get ready to go visit your Jewish neighbor. And then you get the treat. Now, every holiday has its special treat, but Hanukkah's treat, their special treat is called suvganyot. Now, would you willingly eat something that's called suvganyot? I mean, to me, that just sounds frightening. You know, would you put a suvganyot in your mouth? No. Okay, what if I told you that a suvganya is a jelly donut? Would you be okay with that? Because that's what it is. Suvganyot are jelly donuts, okay? Now, what I'm going to say next is a joke, but it's really true. Scientific studies prove that if you show up at somebody's door with jelly donuts, nobody gets offended. There are no scientific studies, but it's true. If you got jelly donuts, people are going to open the door. I mean, that's just how it works, okay? So go down to Dunkin', get some jelly donuts. You got your card, you got your track. Knock on the door, they come to the door, and you say, Chag Sameach Hanukkah. Or you just say, Happy Hanukkah. And they're looking at you like, you're not Jewish. No, I'm a Baptist. So what are you doing Hanukkah? Well, hey, isn't it your holiday? Well, yeah. Well, we love the Jewish people, and we want to congratulate you on Hanukkah. And they're like, wow, that's awesome. Thank you. By the way, I have some suvganyot for you. You know about Thank you. I've got a card for you. You have a Hanukkah card. What's this? It's a piece of paper that talks about Hanukkah. Well, how interesting. Please come on in. And you're showing love, you're building a relationship, and you're opening the door to spiritual conversation. I'm going to ask them a question. I'm going to say, so tell me, how does your family celebrate Hanukkah? And they're going to with great pleasure tell you all about, well, we have this thing. It's called a Hanukkiah. It's a Hanukkah menorah with lights, and we light one every night. It's very cool. And we have these game we play called dreidels, and we give gifts, and we do all of these. And they're going to tell you all about the stuff they do. And you're going to listen carefully, listening, praying, saying, God, give me a connection. Show me how to share the gospel. So how do you celebrate it? And they're going to tell you about that. And then you're going to go a level deeper and you're going to say, so tell me, what does Hanukkah mean to you? Now we're talking about heart issues. And they're going to tell you that. And you say, you know what really is amazing to me about Hanukkah? And they're like, no, what is amazing to you about Hanukkah? And then you're going to say, well, in Hanukkah, and you're going to share how Hanukkah is connected with the gospel. You say, I don't know how Hanukkah is connected to the gospel. True, but you have one of my tracts, and if you read it, you'll know. And if you sign up with that sign-up sheet, you'll get the light bearer's letter, which will tell you that. So you'll be well prepared when you go to their door. And that is one way that you can use the holidays. And so, five things. None of them are offensive. We love Jewish people. Have you seen the news and how it's connected to prophecy? I just read the most amazing thing in the Tanakh. Can I pray for you? Chag Sameach, happy holiday. That's five really easy ways to start a conversation. These are things that you can do. They're not hard. You can do this. And each one of them will help you, not this four-minute witness that you do with people that you only have 4 minutes with, but we're talking about people that you have time to have an ongoing personal relationship with. And these will give you many points of contact where you can share the gospel and start a conversation. And you start those conversations and you have no idea where they may go. And God will do wonderful things. And so I want to encourage you. I wonder if I have another slide up here. I don't even know what my last slide is. Oh, there's the light bearer. Yeah, sign up for the light bearer's letter. Get the tracks from IBJM. Yeah. I'm not sure why I make up all these slides when I forget to use them. It's really useful. Okay. And so the thing I would like to conclude with is you love them and you pray for them. And you regularly sow the gospel using some of the things I've said, and you stay at it. You just patiently continue to do it, and God will use you to get the gospel to a Jewish soul. And folks, this isn't something that you have to be a theologian or have graduated from seminary to do. This is something that you can do. And so I want to encourage you, every one of us. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. I want you tonight to think about a couple of things. The first thing I want to say is we've got 3 days of conference ahead of us. You've gotten the first 3 sessions here today in this auditorium. We're going to continue tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Tuesday and Wednesday morning and night. Maybe God's speaking to your heart and saying, you know what, maybe I need to clean out my schedule and come to that as much as I can. I need to know more about this. And I tell you something more important than that. There are lost people all around us. Jewish people, Gentile people that need the gospel. The sad truth is most of us have all kinds of people in our circle of neighbors, friends, co-workers that need the gospel, and we haven't been sharing the gospel with them. Most of the ideas I've shared with you tonight will work with Jew or Gentile alike. What are you going to do with this? Can you keep being quiet? Or is God speaking to your heart tonight saying, you know what? I can do that. I can do that. I can go to them and say, share what I read in the Bible. I can go and I can have prayer with them. I can go and talk to them about whatever holiday is coming up, Jewish or Gentile, and tell them why it's special to me. Maybe God's speaking to your heart tonight and he's saying, tonight I want you to make a commitment. Not to Sam Wilson, but to God and say, God, I'm going to go to my neighbor and I'm going to begin to talk to him about Jesus Christ. It's not as hard as the devil tries to tell you it is. You can do this. Maybe tonight God's wanting you to say, Lord, I'm going to be a Macedonian. I'm going to be in. I'm going to start doing this. I've been thinking about it. I've known all along that I should. It starts tonight. I'm going to start talking to my neighbor about Jesus. Father, I come before you now. I thank you for this evening. I thank you for these dear people. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, convict us. Lord, more than that, encourage our hearts to believe that you can use us. Help us to quit thinking about it and to get out there and begin to talk to people about Jesus Christ. Help people tonight to make a decision before God to come to the altar or perhaps there at their seat to say, God, I'm hearing your voice. God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to talk to my neighbor about Jesus. Father, I pray for your blessing on each one here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.